We're doing the Netivot Shalom and Parshas Vayera, and the subject is the Akedah. The Parshat Akedat Yitzhak Abu Adiyakim. When you look at the story of the Akedah, the binding of Yitzhak, there are many points which you have to focus on and be very exacting to understand what's going on there. Reshit, firstly we have to note that Lo'asra Nisyonot Ninasa Avraham Avinu Velama Rak Benisyon Zeh Ne'emar Va'elokim Nisa Et Avraham. Avraham has to pass through 10 tests. And only here, when it comes to the Akedah, do we have this introductory verse. God tested Avram. It doesn't tell us that about Sarah being abducted twice. It doesn't tell us that about the famine. It doesn't tell us that about Avram not having children for 100 years. No, here it says God tested Avram. Shelo nizkal ken b'shar ha'nisyonot. When it came to the other 9 tests, you don't have mention of that. Why is the term to describe God is the one of exacting justice? Ha'elokim is the one that tested him. Amoran midat adin va'ira, that's speaking about fear. When God tells him, leave your family, leave everything you know and go to Israel, there it uses the tetragrammaton. When the tests begin, in the beginning of Lech Lecha, we begin with the term of love. When the tests conclude in Parshas Vayera, Hashem will not talk to Avram again. Notice that. The end of the Parsha, the Akedah, Avram has his last conversation with God. The rest of the stories of Avram is going to live almost a half a century and no conversation with God. And the tests conclude with the term Elohim. We also have to wonder, wasn't Yitzchak part of the story here? Why is the focus on Avram? Avram was going to be tested. I would think the introduction should be, and God tested Avram and Yitzchak. Yitzchak was also tested here. Kedivrei Chazal shemivi Rashi, as our sages say, Rashi quotes it. Achar devarim ha'ile, the test begins with after these things. So all the commentators are wondering, you have an introduction to the Akedah, and after this, God tested Avram. After what? So Chazal gives different interpretations. Some of our sages say there was an argument between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yishmael told Yitzchak, "Pipsqueak, what are you? At 8 days old, they circumcised you. I'm a big man. I was 13, and I stood there and I let them circumcise me." Yitzchak said, "You're showing off with one limb in your body." If God would tell me to give my life for him, I'd give it. So you gave one limb. So you see, our sages viewed this as a test for Yitzchak as well. So then why does the Torah seem to attribute the test specifically to Avram? We also have to understand, what's the point of all this? Why did there have to be this added test? Wasn't Avram already tested by giving up his life? Here they have a burning furnace, and Avram says, "You could throw me into that cauldron. I'm not reneging on my faith." So he showed he's willing to give up his life. So now he's come full circle, and he has to be willing to give up his child's life. Why? He was already willing to give up his life to Hashem. So then what do we need another test for? So we're going to see that this test was a bigger test than the test of Ur Kasdim, because he's been building up to this. This is the final test. We also have to understand at the conclusion of the Akedah, God says, "Now I know you fear God." We say Avram loved God. That's a much higher level. So you have the final test, and when it's all over, God says, "Okay, now I know you're a God-fearing person." Wait, I thought he was greater than that. I thought he loved God. We would expect the verse to say, "I now know you love God." We have to understand why the Torah stresses 3 times, the Torah repeats the same line. They went together. They went together. And a third time the Torah says they went together. We have at the very beginning of the Akedah, they went together towards the Akedah. Then Yitzchak asks his father and says, "Where's the lamb, Dad?" and his father says, whatever, however you interpret his father's answer, and then the Torah testifies they went together. And when it's all over, after the Akedah, the Torah repeats a third time, and they went back together from the Akedah. So we can explain as follows. Our sages already taught us, and the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Avraham, our patriarch, was tested 10 times, and he stood up to all 10 tests. To show us how great was Avraham, our patriarch's love before the omnipresent. And in the work Emunah u'Bitachon, that's in the works, the writings of Nachmanides, so we attribute it to Nachmanides, it says the following. Do not err and think that Avram's greatness was because he fulfilled the Torah. There were Jews who kept the Torah too. The Talmud already tells us there were people who were so pious, the only reason they died was because ever since the serpent, people have to die in this world. They didn't do any real sins that they deserved to die. So what's the great love God has for Abraham? Because he stood up to the 10 tests. V'hainu sha'asara nisyonot megalim u'modi'in et chibato shel Avraham Avinu lifnei ha'makom. So, listen closely. What did the Mishnah say? And what did Nachmanides say? You want to know that God loves Avraham? Look at his 10 tests. We would think you want to know that Avraham loves God? Look at the 10 tests. That's not what it says.
אבל כל מדרגותיו ומה שקיים את כל תורה כולה עדיין אין בהם להודיע גודל חיבתו לפני המקום.
Everything he attained and his fulfillment of the Torah, that is not indicative of how much God loves him. So if you want to understand this, you have to really understand the idea of the tests. You can keep the whole Torah and still not stand up to the tests of life. Scary thought. Not only in the Hasidic work of the Netivot Shalom, a very similar idea is in the Misnagdic work of Rav Yitzchak Hutner, Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, when he discusses the idea of getting drunk on Purim. A very similar idea to what we're about to read. He also says over there, you could keep the whole Torah and do it in a very dry way, in a very exacting way, and not be able to stand up to the tests of life.
Yesh leva'er al pima de'amar ha'bal shem tov ha'kadosh.
We can explain based on the tradition we have from the holy Baal Shem Tov. Guys, hold on to your seats, because this, to my mind, the sentence we're about to read is one of the scariest sentences in the whole work. The Baal Shem Tov said the following. When a person is put to a test, notelin mimenu et kol ha'arot v'amadregot shelo. So then, it's as if from heaven, they take away from him all the enlightenment, all the elevation, everything he's attained until now. He's back to square one, and with that he has to contend with the test. Meaning, it's not like he takes all the baggage, everything he's built up till now, and now he faces the test. No. Suddenly he finds himself as though he's starting all over again. He's starting Jewish philosophy 101. And a person finds himself dealing with the test out of what in Hasidut they call katnut hamochin, as though his mind has shrunk. Suddenly he's facing it and he's finding himself not where he was a day ago spiritually, not where he built himself up to. He's not only facing the test, he suddenly feels like everything he built until now is not there with him. Where's everything I built? How come I'm standing at this test and I feel like I'm contending with it? He doesn't say this, but I would say this, as though my soul were undressed. I'm standing here naked, contending with the challenge. Where's all the clothing I prepared? Where's everything I built until today?
כי בשעת גדלות המוחין אין זה חידוש אם מתגברים ועומדים בניסיון.
You have times where, in Hasidut they call it, where the mind is expanding, where you feel like you have clarity, so then of course you could stand up to the tests of life, because you feel you have that clarity. So then when the tests come, you can see right through them.
ועיקר הניסיון הוא אם עומד בזה גם בעת חשכות וקטנות המוחין.
The essence of the test is, does one stand up to it when suddenly he doesn't see light? What he sees is darkness. He doesn't feel like things are clear. He feels like nothing's clear. Everything's obscure.
זה מבחן על מדרגתו האמיתית בעבודת השם.
And then he gets tested. Where is he really holding in the service of Hashem?
והיינו שהמדרגה הראויה שיהודי צריך להשיג בעבודת השם.
Meaning, a Jew has to attain the level in the service of Hashem, he שזותה אצלו בחינת טבעיות ותכונת נפש. The idea is, you want to get to a point where your one's nature, where it's as though it's part of who I am. If you want me to figure it out, I can't. You want me to explain it, I can't. I could have yesterday. Had you asked me a week ago, I had it clear. But now when I'm standing facing the challenge, I don't have answers. I don't have clarity. So then how am I functioning? Your most basic instincts are taking over. And then the question is, have you grown to the point where your most basic instinct is, what does Hashem want of me? And if you think about it, that this idea is scary on one hand and phenomenal on the other hand. There are trying times in life. A woman is standing in the middle of a barbecue. True story, happened about 30 years ago. She's having a barbecue with her family. She is 7 months pregnant. All the kids are standing around. And she tells her husband, quick, we have to go to the hospital. The baby tore me open. She's a nurse. And she knows, she says, I'm having internal bleeding. We have to run to the hospital because the stitches from my previous C-sections have opened. And they're rushing to the hospital and she tells her husband, look, you're going to have to tell them that this is what happened. In a few minutes, I'm going to go into shock. And now she has to give them directions. Who comes first, her or the baby? True story. Neither one is with us today. I mean, they both passed away. I know the family, but neither one made it. But this phenomenal woman, as she's being taken to the hospital, is giving her husband instructions. When you get to the hospital, you have to tell him, I went into shock. This is what happened. I want them to take the baby out and his life comes before mine. She's giving very clear instructions, goes into shock. The doctors try to save her, try to save the baby, and they don't succeed in either one by the time they got to the hospital. What's at play in a minute like that? Can she philosophize? Can she think through? Can she decide? Or what's coming out is her most basic instincts. Here's what has to happen. When challenges come up in life, when a plane hits the Twin Towers, when there's a flood hitting New York, you don't have time to think. And suddenly you wish you could think things through and you don't have that option. And when you have a greater calamity, when there's a Holocaust, so then if you're going to try to think things through, you're not going to be able to think things through. Even if you have the time, a person sitting there, I started this project asking people who went through the Holocaust and came away religious, observant Jews. I said, you know, I have no question on anyone who's not religious, but how do you stay religious at a time like that or after that? And the answers I got were amazing. Different answers. The Netivot Shalom says when tests come, it's not only the external test, but there's also an internal test. Because what happens is you lose all the clarity you have. You lose whatever level you've attained and suddenly you find yourself facing the challenge with the most basic self who you are. And then the question is, where have you built yourself to? What is your most basic self? This, by the way, answers many questions. How come King Saul loses his kingdom over a decision he made under such great pressure? Ask King Saul a day earlier, a day later, what's right? He has the answers. So why is it fair to test King Saul under such pressure? He's outnumbered 10-1. The people are leaving him. They're leaving the ranks. They're saying, we're not coming with you. He has to represent the whole Jewish people. The Philistines are starting an attack. And now he has to make a decision. Do I listen to the prophet or not? Why is that fair? It's not the sterile setting he would like to have his test. No, but that's life. God says, now I'm going to test you. And the test is, who are you really? Where have you built yourself up to when you cannot think? When you have to work based on who you've developed yourself to be?
When you are in those moments when your world is spinning and you know and then you come to things that would normally matter, then something happens like that you're called to a test, you know, speaking in that sense, and when it comes to that point, it's really where your test is based on how you exercise your instincts, and not and what mattered a second ago can become completely irrelevant, but yet it could be so dangerous as to distract you from exercising your instincts correctly. And the way, and I was taking a course in the army, and right before I had to step up to the test that God had put in front of me, one of the commanders was actually able to sympathize with me for a second, and he told me to, like, we're not tested in times when things are comfortable and things are good and things are easy. We're tested when things are crazy and difficult and we really don't know and we have no answers and we can't really see what happens next. And the reason that that's so is because if we were tested when we were easy, then everyone would pass. And what distinguishes someone who passes their test from someone who doesn't pass their test is their ability to pass the test in such circumstances. She said something along those lines, and it's advice that's stayed with me since. It's incredible.
Shukrach.